Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
We have to make a choice to receive what he did for us in order to be benefited from it. So Adam had to make a choice. That's how we got in the predicament. Christ did the work, but we have to make a choice to embrace him and to appropriate to our lives what he did for us.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 21, in a message titled, Adam and Christ. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Imputation is this idea that through the action or the actions of somebody else are put to the account of someone other than themselves. So the actions of Adam were imputed to us, but then the actions of Christ will be imputed to us. So when it says many were made sinners or many were made righteous, the idea of made is appointed, constituted, or designated. So God designated all sinners because of the act of Adam. But the other side of the coin is that God will designate those righteous because of the work of Jesus Christ. Now, as Paul goes on here, he talks here about the kind of the evidences for the reign of sin and then the evidences for the reign of righteousness. So Adam brought in a reign of sin. And now think of the word reign. We're talking about monarchy here. We're talking about lordship. We're talking about a principle that's reigning, a principle that's ruling, or a principle that's, you could just speak of it as king. Sin and death are king over Adam's race. That's what Paul is talking about here. Now, in a kind of a parallel passage in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talks about similar kinds of things. The direct context is the resurrection, but he's talking about this whole issue of being in Adam or of being in Christ. And he says there, so as it is in Adam, all die, so it is in Christ, all shall be made alive. You see, death reigns over Adam's race. Death still reigns over Adam's race to this very hour. And death will continue to reign over Adam's race until the end of time as we know it, and until the final destruction of death that Christ will ultimately bring. He's already dealt the death blow to death by rising from the dead, but he's going to come back and he's going to manifest that in the future. But think about this. Think about the reign of sin. Now, we've talked about sin at quite a bit of length through our study in Romans here. We're going to talk about it more as we get into chapter 6 and 7. But you know, there are some people that are evidently blind to reality. They try to say there's no such thing as sin. You know, you have to ask, you know, what planet are you living on? There's no such thing as sin. What do you call all this stuff going on around us? The reality is sin and death reign like king over the human race. Every broken body, every broken heart, every broken relationship, every broken home, every broken nation all testify to the reign of sin over the earth. I mean, think about what's going on in the world tonight. As we gather here, think about what's happening all around the globe tonight. Think about the suffering and the misery that people are living in. I mean, you know, as John was talking about the situation in Africa there, could you imagine living in a place where you've got these rebel armies that just run freely around the country? There in Uganda for many years, there was a rebel army that was called the Lord's Resistance Army, LRA. And much like he described with this this Muslim resistance army, they basically just went around pillaging the country, but their soldiers were all young men that they would kidnap. And that's how they would build their army. They just go into villages, kill everybody, and take the boys, and then turn them into soldiers from the time they were just little kids. Can you imagine a world like that? Well, that's the world we live in. It might not be happening right under our noses, but it's happening in the world. But you know, you might not have to go as far as you think. You don't even really have to go to Africa to find that kind of stuff. You go right down the street to Santa Ana. The gangs are just another version of that. What are they doing? They're recruiting kids from a young age. They're bringing them in. They're getting them to deal drugs and things like that. And then eventually they're getting them out there, you know, committing various crimes. And then pretty soon they're out there killing each other. So we've got it going on there. You go down to the jungles in South America and things, you know, have changed quite a bit because of the missionary activity. But when you went down there, you found all of these, you know, tribal conflicts, and you found these revenge killings that were going on. And I remember when I read the book Mission to the Headhunters, Frank and Marie Drown, you know, it was like as I was reading that book and about the battles between the Shuar Indians and the other groups there, I thought, wow, this is just like gang activity. It's just in a jungle instead of in, you know, a concrete jungle in L.A. or somewhere. It's the same kind of stuff. But all of this stuff, what's happening in Libya tonight, or what's happening in Syria tonight, or what's been going on in Iraq for years, and what's, you know, all of this stuff is evidence of what? It's an evidence of the reign of sin. All of these things point to the reign of sin. And then you get some, you know, some politician who thinks they're going to fix this. They're going to solve this. How could anybody be so foolish as to even think in those terms? But such is man. Sin blinds people to reality as well. So these things are all evidence of the reign of sin. Every cemetery, every coffin, every grave is evidence that death is king over Adam's race.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
You ever think about that? Every cemetery is a monument to death. You know, isn't it interesting how we kind of, at least to some degree, we sort of keep cemeteries kind of out of the way, don't we? You know, there's a few places you can go and you'll, you know, sometimes you'll see a cemetery on the side of the road or something. But I've kind of noticed this where it's somewhat of a tendency, at least around here, to kind of, you know, just, you know, sort of keep that out of sight. You know, we'll put a nice fence around it. Of course, we've got a lot of trees and things. It, you know, just look like a park. People don't want to be reminded of the reality of death. The fact that I'm going to end up in one of those at some point in time. But the fact of the matter is, death reigns. Death has reigned as king over the children of Adam. Now that's what Paul is talking about here. But then he brings us to Christ, who has brought in contrast to the reign of sin, Jesus has brought in a new kingdom. There's a new king. There's something new that's reigning besides sin and death. And what is it that's reigning? Grace is reigning. Grace is reigning. That's the only way you could possibly describe the sacrifice of Christ for the innumerable multitudes of sin is grace. And so now grace is reigning. Grace is king. And there is a present manifestation of the reign of grace, and there is a coming manifestation of the reign of grace. What is the present manifestation of the reign of grace? The present manifestation of the reign of grace is righteousness. Listen to what Paul says in the last verse here, verse 21. So that as sin has reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness. How do we know that there is a reign of grace in the midst of this reign of sin and death? How do we know that there's actually a reign of grace? Here's how we know. We know because of righteousness. We know because of the power of God in people's lives to turn them from captives to sin to captives of Christ, to turn them from rebellious sinners into righteous saints. This is your life, your testimony is part of the evidence that grace is now reigning. Do you ever think about that? That's what you are. That's what I am. That's what all believers are. We are a testimony to the reality that there is a new king on the throne, that there is a new reign that's being established. Grace is reigning through righteousness. But what do we mean by that? Well, we're talking about this transformation that comes in the lives of those who put their faith in Christ. It's a transformation that results in what? It's a transformation that results in grace, or excuse me, in righteousness. Now, again, this is something that we're going to go much deeper into, especially as we get into the sixth chapter, but suffice it to say here tonight, we have to be clear about this. There is evidence for the reign of grace and its righteousness. Therefore, if there is no righteousness in my life, then the question has to be asked, is grace really reigning? The reign of grace in my life is going to produce righteousness. So if I'm claiming to be now under the reign of grace, then there's going to be a corresponding transformation in my life. There's going to be righteousness that's going to be the testimony to that reality. Now, many will claim to be under the reign of grace, but yet there's not the evidence through the transformed life. And that's a huge problem. It's one that Paul's going to go on and address at length, and we will do that in the process of time. But let me just give just kind of a general description of what we're talking about when we're talking about righteousness. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We're talking about loving God. We're talking about loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're talking about loving our neighbors as ourselves. We're even talking about loving our enemies. These are all different ways to understand righteousness. This is what the life of a transformed person is going to look like. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to perfectly manifest these things. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have our struggles and our challenges. It doesn't mean that I'm always going to just, you know, in a split second, be able to look at my enemy and just, you know, be overwhelmed with love for them. Doesn't even mean that I'm going to be able to do that with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Doesn't mean that I'm always going to be long-suffering or kind, faithful. It doesn't mean that in the sense of, you know, we're not talking about some absolute perfection. But what we are talking about is that this is the tenor of one's life. This is the goal. This is what I'm moving toward. This is what I'm longing to see happen in my life. And this is what I'm, you know, constantly submitting myself to the Lord for. This is what I'm asking God to help me with. This is what I'm seeking His grace and His mercy for when I fall short of it. You know, there's a genuine pursuit of righteousness and holiness in our lives. We're not disinterested in that. We're not careless in regard to that. It's something that we're committed to and we're serious about. That is righteousness. And you could add other things to it, but I just wanted to give you kind of an overall picture. But you see, this is how we know that grace is already reigning. Because there's millions of people in the world that this describes who they are in contrast to who they once were. Most of us, I would imagine, are able to look back at a point in our lives where we were anything but righteous. Now, perhaps some of you were, you know, brought up in a Christian home, and maybe you've walked with the Lord from the time you were a small child. That is a wonderful thing. But, you know, most people, that's not been the case. So I know from my own personal experience, as well as many of you, you know, one time you were living under the lordship of sin and death. Sin reigned in your life as king. But what's happened? Grace is now reigning in your life. And how do you know that? And how do other people know it? Because of righteousness. Because God's changed you. And you're a different person. You're not a perfect person, but you're a different person. You're not the person that you used to be. And there is a work that's going on of the Spirit. And God is doing something in you. He's transforming you ultimately into the image of His Son. And here's the great and glorious thing. This is the present manifestation of the reign of grace. The future manifestation of the reign of grace is eternal life. You see, right now we're still laboring along in these sinful bodies, right? And the best we'll ever be under these circumstances is we'll be sanctified sinners, but we'll still be sinners. But the good news is that one day, grace is going to reign, as Paul says here. Grace is going to reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So one of these days, this old body of sin is going to be shed, and I'm going to receive a new body, a glorified body, a body that is manifesting the Spirit, and a body that will be the final proof of the reign of grace. Because I will have then a completely righteous body. You will have a completely righteous life experience, is what I should say, rather than body. You'll have a body that's a new body, a body that's not tainted by sin. But you see, the reign of grace has already begun. And it's seen in the transformed lives of sinners, but it's going to be seen in the glorified state, in the resurrected bodies that we will receive ultimately from the Lord. Some will receive them because they've died and, you know, gone to the great resurrection. Others will receive them instantaneously because they will be living at the time that the Lord returns for the resurrection. We call that the rapture. But this is the wonderful thing. The great and glorious thing is that the reign of grace has already begun. So you see, in the midst of this dark, hopeless situation, there's a shaft of light. The shaft of light is the gospel. And as we look all around us, we see the reign of sin and death. But yet, we see these pockets of life. We see these pockets of hope. And we know that all over the planet, God has his manifestations of his kingdom, where grace is reigning through righteousness and where his people are awaiting that ultimate manifestation through the glorified body. Now, in closing, I want to go back to this thing of choice. Adam made us all sinners by making a choice. He made a choice, and that's how we all were constituted sinners. He made the wrong choice. Christ came and he acted on behalf of every one of us, but just as Adam made a choice, we have to make a choice as well. So the actions of Christ are not automatically imputed to all human beings, even though the actions of Christ were provisional for all human beings. Jesus died for everybody, just didn't die for, you know, a handful of people. He died for the whole of humanity. But we have to make a choice to receive what he did for us in order to be benefited from it. So Adam had to make a choice. That's how we got in the predicament. Christ did the work, but we have to make a choice to embrace him and to appropriate to our lives what he did for us. So that's an important thing to understand. It doesn't just happen automatically. As by one man's offense many died, so by one man's righteous act many will be made alive. So some would say, oh, well, we don't need to do anything. Jesus, he did it all. Well, that's true with this one exception. We need to believe. That's the choice we make. We believe. It's not a work. Some people want to say, well, you know, if you say that you've got to believe, then you're saying you're saved by works. No, the Bible contrasts faith and works. It doesn't put them in the same category at all. Belief, that's what we do. And as we believe what Jesus did, believe it in the sense that I understand that he did it for me and I receive what he did for me, then what he did in making many righteous, I enter in to the blessing of that. And that's the glorious news of the gospel. And so, I trust that you've made that choice. But if for some reason you haven't done that, if some reason you've thought that maybe you didn't need to do that, or you're depending on, you know, somebody else's choice for that, you have to make the choice yourself. You have to choose to receive what Christ did on your behalf. And for those who don't choose it, although it's there, it's available, it's been provided, if a person refuses to choose it, if a person refuses to appropriate it, then although it was there and available, in the end, they will miss that opportunity. It is the free gift, but like any other gift, it has to be received. So make sure you've done that. If you haven't done that, it's as simple as, Lord Jesus, forgive my sin. I confess I'm a sinner. I receive you into my life. Be the Lord of my life. You say that in all sincerity, and Christ will indeed do that.
For the month of December, Back to Basics Radio is offering an engaging 40-day devotional titled When God Became One of Us by Pastor Brian. This book takes a fresh look at the person of Jesus, overviewing the book of John, drawing you into a deeper personal relationship with Christ, while stimulating a greater hunger to know and serve him, and inviting you to dig deeper into the Word of God. The Lord wants to open our eyes to the truth of his glory and greatness. For it is through Jesus that we have hope, peace, forgiveness, and abundant life. And we hope that this devotional will give you a richer understanding of the Incarnation, when God became one of us. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order this 40-day devotional by Pastor Brian. For a donation of any size to Back to Basics Radio, we'll send you this month's book. You'll find this month's book and all of our other resources waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.